The title of the message today is Stand Fast, a message that is very much needed in our day and time. Stand Fast. It was a routine morning on number 22 Chicago Transit Authority bus as it traveled its daily route through Chicago. On board were office workers, students, shoppers, all sitting in their seats and crowding in the aisles. And when the bus came to the corner of Clark and Webster Streets, two men and a woman boarded the bus. And as soon as they boarded, the driver said, "Everybody watch your valuables. There are pickpockets on board." Well, women clutched their purses tightly. Men held on to their wallets in their back pockets. Everybody looked at the trio. And the trio looked embarrassed. And without losing a stride, they went right out the side door before the bus could even start up again. We are warned in the Bible repeatedly that we have spiritual enemies. And we face daily danger from these spiritual enemies. The three primary spiritual enemies of the Christian are the world, the sin nature, and the devil. The world is the appeal from outside. The world is out here, and it's constantly appealing to us to yield to its temptations and allurements. The flesh, or the sin nature, is the appetite from within us. It's the only one of the three enemies that is within us. And it has a voracious appetite and hunger, and it issues forth these strong desires that we yield to its temptations. The third enemy is the devil. He is the attacker from outside. The devil is not omnipresent. He's not everywhere, but he has a network of demons that do his bidding. So we have an appeal, we have an appetite, and we have an attacker. And we have to constantly be on guard because we face the danger every day of surrendering to these enemies. And that's why it is very important that we be unquestionably decisive in our Christian walk every day. The Apostle Paul used this term, stand fast, 6 times in his epistles. And in a moment, we're going to look at those 6 occurrences. But I want to ask and answer the question ahead of time. What does it mean when the Apostle Paul tells us to stand fast? Let me give you some ideas. Standing fast has the idea of, first of all, remaining strong in your convictions, in your beliefs, grounded in the truth of the Word of God. And that requires that we know the truth and that we immerse ourselves in the truth of the Word of God. Standing fast means that we don't waver. We do not compromise the truth of the Word of God. Standing fast means that we stay on track, that we don't allow ourselves to take detours off of the highway of holiness. It means that we are not wishy-washy in our beliefs. We know what we believe because we have grounded ourselves in the Word of God. And after being in the ministry for 45 years, I can tell you that we have far too many Christians today who are weak. They're vacillating between opinions because they have not anchored themselves to the truth of the Bible. They're up one day, they're down the next, they're over here, they're over there, and they are not walking on the straight and narrow path. However, this is not anything new. The prophet Elijah confronted this same weakness in the people of Israel 3,000 years ago. And I will tell you, brethren, based upon the narrative in 1 Kings chapter 18, Elijah did not like what he saw. He challenged the people in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21, as he was confronting the prophets of the false god Baal with these words. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, "How long halt ye," or limp ye, "between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, then follow him." And the people said nothing. So generally speaking, when we talk about standing fast, it means these four things, and these should be in your notes. At least they were when I printed them out yesterday. Don't waver in what you believe. In other words, don't be like the children of Israel in Elijah's day. Don't be double-minded. Secondly, it means that you don't say that you trust God one day, and the next day you don't trust God. In other words, stand fast. Thirdly, it means that you don't bend to the whims and the ways of the world. You know, the culture should be following the lead of the church. But today, the church is following the lead of the culture. We've got it totally backwards. Totally backwards. Fourthly, it means that you stand fast in the truths of Scripture, even when you face difficulty, trials, and adversity. Stand fast. We all need to have spiritual cleats on our spiritual shoes so that we are unmovable, steadfast, as Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So let's look at these six passages of Scripture this morning in which we are exhorted to stand fast. Number one, we are to stand fast in the faith. Stand fast in the faith. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13. Paul, in this passage of Scripture, gives us in six Greek words, which he, when he originally wrote this, in six Greek words, he gives us four commands. Four commands. Watch. Stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men, which literally means be courageous men, and obviously women. And fourthly, be strong. Now, I want to show you this same verse in a couple of other translations to give you kind of a flavor for what this verse is saying. Notice that the first one says, watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave. Oh, we need brave Christians today. Brave Christians. Be strong. The second one, be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong. And he's not talking about being strong physically. You can be weak physically and still be strong spiritually. Now, this verse is actually a companion verse to a very familiar verse in the Old Testament. It's Joshua chapter 1 and verse 9, where God is exhorting Joshua as he's about to lead the children of Israel across the Jordan River into the Promised Land. And he says this to Joshua, "Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed." Why? "Because the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." What a blessed promise. Now, when the Lord was with the people in the Old Testament who were believers, he was with them externally. He's with us internally, because all three persons of the Godhead reside within us. Now, let's talk about this word watch here. It's very interesting. It means to be awake, to be alert, to be vigilant, to be watchful. We're back in 1 Corinthians 16:13 now. That means keeping an eye on what's going on around us. And more importantly, paying attention to your spiritual condition. To stand fast in the faith means to be anchored, to be stationary, to persevere, to be convicted or convinced of what you believe. Do you believe that what you believe is true? The phrase, "quit ye like men," which is an old Elizabethan King James phraseology, means to be courageous in one's convictions and one's confidence in Christ. And the phrase, "be strong," implies increasing in spiritual vitality and vigor, to be strengthened, to increase in faith. Now, you may not recognize this, but actually all four of those commands that Paul enumerates for us in this verse are military terms. These are the commands to a soldier who's fighting in a battle. Paul uses this terminology over and over again in his epistles, because living in a Roman culture, as he was living, he commonly saw legions of Roman soldiers traveling the highways from one place to another. There were Roman garrisons soldiering in most of the cities and towns in that part of the world at that time. And so his audience, who was also living in the Roman Empire, would have been very familiar with this terminology and a soldier and his duties. So can you imagine a Roman sentry, a guard, on guard duty, at attention, peering into the night, listening intently for a little noise, somebody stepping on a twig or kicking a rock in the dirt? If he has fallen asleep while he's on guard duty, the enemy could very easily sneak up on him and kill him. And that would open up the camp to the enemy. You can obviously see how this applies in the Christian life. We have to be alert and awake spiritually all the time. The other truths that are found in this verse, these imperatives, standing fast in the faith, being strong, living like men, are also military terminology. Perhaps you remember when you were in high school world history class, if you had such a subject when you were in history class, about the Battle of Thermopylae in 480 BC. The Spartan king, Leonidas, had 400 men. 300 Spartan soldiers. There were another 700 Thespian soldiers and another 400 Theban soldiers. So that's a total of a little over 1,000 soldiers. And they were doing battle against a Persian army of over 1 million soldiers. 1 million to 1,000. King Leonidas and all of those that were with him knew beyond any shadow of a doubt that they were not going to survive that battle. They knew to a man that they were going to die. The odds were overwhelmingly against them. But you know what? They felt compelled to at least attempt to stop the enemy and save their nation. The bottom line, they stood fast to the death. They stood firm. How much more should you and I encapsulate these four principles? Stand fast in the faith. Second of all, Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, that we are to stand fast in freedom. Notice the verse. I have it on the overhead, or the PowerPoint. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Now, I don't know if you've read the book of Galatians ever, or if you've, it's been a long time since you've read the book of Galatians, so I want to just give you a very quick overview so you'll understand what Paul is telling us in this verse. Paul wrote this verse to combat two very serious and grievous theological and doctrinal errors. Those two errors are legalism and Galatianism. Legalism and Galatianism. What are these two errors? Legalism is the error that a person cannot be saved, cannot be born again, unless and until he keeps the Mosaic law. In other words, a Gentile would, in all practical ways, have to become a Jew. And the Judaizers in Galatia who were promoting this heresy were emphasizing one particular law within the Mosaic law that they had to keep. And that was the law of circumcision. Okay? I don't know how women were saved, but nonetheless, that's what they were teaching. And it was a false doctrine. Now, over on the other extreme was the heresy of Galatianism. Galatianism is the teaching that once you have been saved by the law, through the law of Moses, you must continue to keep the law to stay saved. In other words, you must become a Jew in order to keep your salvation and be guaranteed a home in heaven. Let me repeat. Those errors are heresy. They are wrong. They are false. Now, there was an antidote to this twofold heresy. And the antidote is is another word that begins with the letter L. It's the word liberty. The idea of liberty in Christ is that we are free in Christ to do what pleases God. It does not mean that we are free to do what we want to do. That's not liberty. That's bondage. That's servitude. And so we are free to live in holiness, godliness, and obedience in the fear of the Lord. And I know we're going to hear more about that tonight from Jeff. And the Apostle Paul is telling these Galatian believers that you need to be firm and unwavering in the truth of your freedom in Christ. You have been set free, Paul says, from the bondage of the law. Christ took that law and he nailed it to the cross and did away with the law, the Mosaic law. But that doesn't mean that we are not under law today. We are under two laws today as Christians. We are under the moral law of God, of which all of humanity is under. And we are under the Messianic law, the law of Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, the Mosaic law was an external law. It was written on tables of stone and parchment, 613 rules that the Jewish people had to follow. Today, the law of Christ is written on our hearts. We know it instinctively because the Holy Spirit has planted the law of Jesus Christ in our hearts. So we need to be faithful to our freedom in Christ. We need to be firm and unyielding in adhering to the principles and truths of the Word of God, all within a context of liberty in Christ to do what pleases Him. Listen, we are the bondslaves, the servants of Jesus Christ. But unlike slaves in the Old Testament, we are free. We are free. Christ has made us free. And when Christ sets us free, we are free indeed. Free to love God. Free to serve God. Free to obey God. Free to glorify God. Free to honor God in all things. Stand fast in freedom. Thirdly, we are to stand fast in fellowship. Stand fast in fellowship. Notice what Paul wrote to the Philippian church in Greece. Margaret, have you ever been to Philippi?
No.
Okay. That's in Greece, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay.
I want to say something at the end.
Okay. Okay. All right. Notice chapter 1, verse 27 of Philippians. Only let your conversation be as it becometh or is befitting the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. So Paul is exhorting the Philippian believers, and us by extension, obviously, that we ought to behave ourselves, in a manner that is befitting, that is appropriate, that is proper for the gospel message that we proclaim. The word conversation that's found in this verse is very interesting. There are four Greek words that are translated conversation in the New Testament. Four different Greek words. This particular word means citizenship or politics. Politics. Our politics are in heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. This is not our home. We're just a passing through. Our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. So we're just here temporarily. 60, 70, 80, 90 years, and we're gone. Gone home to be with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Forever. Forever. Amazing. I had the wonderful privilege of visiting with a lady on Friday, Susan, who's in Hospice House in Bellingham. She was a member of this church for many years, and she's just turned 94. She only has days to live, but the joy in her heart with the perspective that she's about to go home to be with Jesus was amazing. I told her, Susan, you are about to experience the greatest day in your life. Better than when you got married, better than when you gave birth to your children. You are going home to see your Lord. And oh, her face lit up. She was so happy. Now, I told her that a week ago, and I didn't think she was going to live through the week. When I got there on Friday, she was sitting up in bed eating a ham and cheese sandwich. So, it's all in the Lord's timing, okay? It's all in the Lord's timing. So, since our citizenship is really in heaven, our lives ought to harmonize with our home in heaven. F.B. Meyer said this, commenting on this verse. Our manner of life, our conversation, or our manner of life is all important. In the open day and in the hours of darkness, it must be worthy of the gospel. We must show ourselves to be of a heavenly tone and temper as citizens. And you might be interested to know that all six times when this verb, stand fast, is mentioned in these six passages of Scripture, it always means the same thing. To keep yourself grounded in the battle. Keep yourself grounded in the battle. Only the Holy Spirit can accomplish that in our lives. He is the one that gives believers the ability to stand fast in fellowship with one another. Number four, stand fast in fortitude. Paul continues this theme in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. And the Apostle Paul also says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 8, for now we live, if you stand fast in the Lord. Stand fast in the Lord. Stand fast in fortitude. Stand fast in strength for the Lord. Only with Jesus Christ can we resist the seductions and the temptations and the weaknesses of cowardice. We don't need any cowards, any more cowards in the church than we already have. There's a whole movement of cowardice invading the church today. So we need to be like soldiers standing fast in the heat of the battle. With the enemy surging down upon us, we have to stand fast. The church has to stand fast as an individual, or as individuals, and the Christian has to stand fast. And that is our marching orders from the Lord. And lastly today, we are to stand fast in faithfulness. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 15. Stand fast in faithfulness. Therefore, Paul writes, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. hold fast to the traditions. You remember Tevye? Who knows who Tevye was? Nobody knows who Tevye is. But I bet if I said Fiddler on the Roof, you know who Tevye was. You remember he sang a song in Fiddler on the Roof. Tradition! Tradition! He sang it better than I just did. Look, there's nothing wrong with tradition as long as it's rooted in the Bible. Rooted and grounded in the truth of the Bible. Solomon exhorted us in the book of Proverbs not to remove the ancient landmarks of truth that have been passed down to us from Scripture from generation to generation to generation through the centuries. Those truths are just as profitable and relevant for us today as they were when they were spoken and written. Don't cast off those truths and principles. You need to be faithful to the truth of the Word of God, regardless of cost or consequence. Stand fast. In the days of Emperor Nero, there was a band of elite wrestlers, soldiers, known as the Emperor's Wrestlers. These 40 men were the cream of the crop. They were the best of the best of the athletes and warriors in the Roman amphitheater. They were the bravest of the soldiers in Nero's army. They wrestled for the emperor against all who challenged him. Before each contest, they would stand before the emperor's throne and they would cry out this hymn. 40 wrestlers wrestling for thee, O King, to win for thee the victory and from thee the victor's crown. One year in the first century, in midwinter, there was a rebellion against Nero in Gaul. You would know it today as France. So the emperor sent for his 40 wrestlers and told them to go to Gaul and end the war that was raging there. And so the brave group of 40 wrestlers left Rome under the command of General Vespasian. While in Gaul, however, rumors began to spread back to Rome that some of the emperor's wrestlers had become Christians. They were no longer worshiping Nero. When the news reached Nero, he dispatched a courier to Gaul to hand a letter to Vespasian with this decree. It said, "If there be any among your soldiers who cling to the faith of the Christian, they must die." It was in the dead of winter that Vespasian received the message while his soldiers were camped by a frozen lake in Gaul. And so Vespasian assembled his troops together and asked this question: "Are there any among you who cling to the faith of the Christians? If so, let him step forward. I must tell you All that step forward will be put to death. And I have heard it said, a Christian will never deny being one. Instantly, without hesitation, all 40 wrestlers stepped forward 2 paces, stood at attention, and saluted the general. And they said in unison, "We believe in Jesus Christ, and we will worship only him." Vespasian was stunned. He had not expected anyone to step forward. So Vespasian said to them, "Until sundown, I shall give you time to recant and to deny your faith." As sundown approached, the soldiers were again assembled together. And Vespasian asked, "Who still clings to this Christian faith, even if it means death?" Again, 40 soldiers stepped forward and stood at attention and said the same thing as they had said earlier in the day. Vespasian pleaded with them to deny their faith, but not one soldier recanted. Vespasian did not want these men, whom he respected and loved, who had fought side by side with him, he did not want them to die by the blade of the sword. And so he built a huge bonfire right by the lake and ordered all of the soldiers to strip naked. Vespasian reluctantly said, "The decree of the emperor must be obeyed. So you shall stand out on the frozen lake, exposed to the elements until you freeze to death. Should any of you recant and deny Christ, we will keep the fire burning all throughout the night, and by returning to the shelter of the shore and the fire, you will be saying that you are denouncing Jesus Christ, and you will live." The 40 soldiers stripped off their clothing, fell into 4 columns of 10 each, and marched toward the center of the lake and certain death. And as they marched out onto the ice, they chanted, 40 soldiers wrestling for thee, O Christ, to win for thee the victory, and from thee the victor's crown." You can imagine that Vespasian had a rather sleepless night. He stood by the campfire and watched those 40 soldiers out on the ice all begin to slowly succumb to the elements. As they grew weaker and weaker, the chanting became softer and softer, fainter and fainter. 40 soldiers wrestling for thee, O Christ, to win for thee the victory, and from thee the victor's crown. As morning drew near, one soldier, one wrestler out of 40, no longer was able to withstand the freezing cold. And so he walked off the ice toward the fire, signaling that he was denying his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Vespasian thought to himself, "This is a great victory. Aha, more will come. Of that I am certain. I know these warriors." He waited and he waited, but no more came. 39 still remained out on the lake. And then Vespasian heard the sound again coming from the center of the lake. 39 soldiers wrestling for thee, O Christ, to win for thee the victory, and from thee the victor's crown. Vespasian had been standing by that fire all night, and he was thinking. And as he stood there, the testimony of those 39 soldiers touched his heart. Vespasian slowly removed his cloak, his armor, all of his clothes, and he walked out onto the lake to join his men. And as he walked, they chanted, 40 wrestlers wrestling for thee, O Christ, to win for thee the victory, and from thee the victor's crown. Those wrestlers, by their faith, by their actions, and by their dedication to their Lord and Savior, were able to turn the heart of the great commander to the Savior, Jesus Christ. Stand fast, dearly beloved. Stand fast. Let's pray.